Hey, football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown in the game, but his teammate scores instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you a second chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. With BetMGM's second chance offer, you have a chance to keep the fun going after the first player crosses the goal line. Try a first TD score wager with confidence today. BetMGM, make it legendary. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This specific promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, Pennsylvania, Puerto Rico, or Ontario. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 for New York. 1-800-NEXT-STEP for Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 for Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-ALL for Iowa. 1-800-981-0023 for Puerto Rico. Existing customer offer. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards paid back and unrestricted withdrawable funds. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome to Webcology. Webcology is the show that takes you into the deepest and darkest ends of the ecosystem on the internet. Our guides will take you on a journey into web marketing and bring you the experts and the information so that you can further explore the web marketing world. Now, here are the hosts of Webcology, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's Thursday, April the 9th, 2008. And beset by technical difficulties as we are, this is Jim Hedger from MetaMen.com, and I'm joined by Dave Davies from BeanstalkDashInc.com. And we have a great show for you today. Again, beset by technical difficulties as we are. Dave, how you doing today?
I'm doing just great. How about you, Jim?
I'm doing well. Just for your note, and I guess for our listeners, I can barely hear you, brother.
Okay, I can talk loud. You can ask anybody who knows me. All right.
I've heard you talk loud before. I've heard you talk very loud before. And we got a lot of loud and very tight talking to do today. We have a action-packed show full of interviews. We have Gord Hodges coming on first from Enquiro. He's going to be talking about eye tracking and conversion optimization. And we have a second guest who did the companion article in Web Pro News today. Dave, who do we have coming up after the break?
We have Rick Tobin coming on up, which is I'm really excited to chat with him. He's the director of research over there. Wrote some great white papers, one of which, and as you know, the companion article, Barriers on a Website, really interesting information in there. So I'm really looking forward to chatting with him.
Well, there you go, friends. The show today is on conversion optimization. And speaking of conversions, we have we're going to screw around for a few minutes at the beginning of the show, talking a little bit about really the only thing that's in the news right now, and that's the Yahoo, Microsoft, and now Google situation. Dave, this is like the weirdest soap opera.
It is. Yesterday, you and I were talking a little bit about it. Had the pleasure of chatting with you on the phone yesterday, and now it's new again, or not new, but now there's more. It seems that every week there's some curiosity going on in there, some new player entering the field, or letters back and forth. You hit the nail on the head. This is a geek's version of a soap opera, right here live in front of us.
Well, the reason I'm calling it a soap opera, and actually I'm riffing off of Andy Beal over at Marketing Pilgrim, and if anybody really, really wants a really good lowdown on what's happening, on how absurd this is getting, go over and check out Marketing Pilgrim. I'm just looking up the URL right now. The Young and the Profitless, Why the Yahoo Microsoft Saga is Like a Daytime Soap Opera, and I think Andy nails it right on the head. Here's a quick synopsis. We'll get through this really quickly, then we'll explain what's actually going on. And this is, again, taken from Marketing Pilgrim, Andy Beal's blog. Previously on The Young and Profitless, after telling Brad, who is Microsoft, that he's just not her type, Stacy, who's Yahoo, started hanging out at bars trying to pick up somebody else and make Brad jealous in the process. Grant, who's Google, sent a drink across the bar and offering to whisk Stacy away for a two-week fling of sun, sea, and sand, and, of course, increased revenue from paid clicks. Well, that got Brad, Yahoo, fuming. After yelling at I'm sorry, Brad, Microsoft fuming after yelling at Stacy, who's Yahoo. You need a scorecard to keep up. You know what? I'm going to stop reading this. I'm going to tell people, go check out Marketing Pilgrim today. It's Andy's version of the soap opera is much better than me reading Andy's version of the soap opera. But what it comes down to, earlier this week, Microsoft CEO Steve Ballmer fires off a threatening letter to Jerry Yang, CEO of Yahoo, saying, Jerry, dude, stop screwing around. You know I'm going to buy you, so why don't we just get this done? You have 3 weeks to make up your mind, or we're going to get all nasty and go all proxy fight on you, in which Yahoo would nominate Microsoft would nominate members for Yahoo's board and have a very ugly election getting Microsoft-friendly board members on Yahoo's board. Well, Yahoo shoots back, no, that's not going to happen. You're not offering us enough money. We're open to a deal with you, but sweeten the pot. And then Yahoo goes off, buys Index Tools. So congratulations, Dennis Mortensen and friends over at Index Tools. And starts getting in discussions with AOL. Time Warner, as we all know, wants to dump AOL or move AOL or change AOL somehow. And that would be, you know, that would be the end of it, except Robert Murdoch's News Corporation, the folks who own MySpace, well, they've jumped into the fray, and now they're talking with Microsoft about making a joint deal or a joint bid for Yahoo. Are you confused enough yet, Dave?
Well, Evan knows kind I of am. Kind of spinning. Yeah, I mean that's quite the play-by-play, and thank you, Jim, for it.
I forgot one point. Oh, there's one more point I got to throw in here. This is where it gets really weird, okay? Yahoo has gone to Google, and like I said, they've been talking about this for a long time, and people in the search marketing industry have been talking about this for a while. But Yahoo's gone to Google and said, well, look, okay, we'll test your ads on our system. So now approximately 3% of Yahoo search results are returning Google AdWords ads. So Yahoo's seeing if it can increase revenue by going with Google advertising. I don't even know what to think about that.
It wasn't that long ago they dumped Google advertising, so yeah, you got.
Well, and they spent a year and a half developing Panama. All that money, all that research, all that time, and all that hype, and now they're saying Panama is not gonna, you know, isn't doing it for them, and they need to go with the much larger inventory that Google holds. Is this an admission of defeat, or is it a last-second strategy? I mean, it's very hard to tell.
I mean, they may very well be just trying to pull, like, seeing that the end is in sight, a purchase of some sort, at least in my opinion, is going to go through at some point in the next year to 2 years. They may very well just be making a play to get Google interested, and obviously they're in a spot where they're just trying to get the most they can. Fair enough, who isn't? So they might just be trying to pull Google into the fray, show Google what their distribution network can do, maybe try and pull some bids in from Google and increase. Now, I mean, that would be a disaster just from the competition issues, but, there's all sorts of tactics they could be trying to pull off with that.
Well, something we definitely want to bear in mind while watching what Yahoo does is, they know that their shareholders want something to happen. It's all up to the shareholders. A sale mightn't even go through. The shareholders might decide to keep things status quo, for all we know. But anything that Yahoo does propose to its shareholders, especially as a way to fend off Microsoft, has to be approved by the FTC. It has to get regulatory approval. So I don't think Microsoft really wants to go too far into bed with Google because, even if they had Google doing all their ad network, I still think that would really raise the attention of the FTC. That would give Google over 90% of the online ad market, and I don't think anybody wants to see that happen.
No. Well, except Google. But
except Google, of course, yes, and Google shares. Poor beleaguered Google shareholders. Oh my goodness. We could talk about this for a long time, but we have a really tight show. We have a very long and detailed interview with Gord Hotchkiss coming up in a few minutes. And after that, we have, who was our second guest?
Rick Tobin. So
and we have Rick Tobin, both from Enquiro. We're talking about conversion optimization today here on Webcology on webmasterradio.fm. We have such a long show. We're going to have at least two commercial breaks. I want to get one in now. And then we're going to go straight into our interview with Gord. So, friends, this is Jim Hedger from MetaMen.com and Dave Davies from Beanstalk-Inc.com. You're listening to Webcology on WebmasterRadio.fm. Stay tuned. We have Gord Kotchkiss coming up next.
Sit tight and don't move. Webcology will be back after this short break.
Welcome back to our coverage of the 17th Annual Golf Invitational, brought to you by SureHits.com. When looking for the right ad network, there seem to be unlimited choices. Go with the only network that targets the insurance industry, SureHits.com. Let's head down to the fairway.
Here we are at the 18th hole. Odd choice for Ken Mitchum to not go with SureHits.com here. I mean, they are the only ad network that targets the insurance industry.
Definitely a strange choice to not pick the best option for publishers in the finance category, but, oh, here's a swing.
Oh, look out, folks. Terrible slice into the woods.
Jeff Burns now stepping up to the fairway.
And it looks like he's already chosen SureHits.com. Clearly the best choice since they pay more for quality traffic.
And the swing. Oh, my. He crushes it.
When getting ready to make your drive, go with the sure thing. SureHits.com. For insurance, it's Sure Hits.
Okay, so you're telling me that if I put the Go currency converter on my site, all my international customers can see how much they're paying in their own currency?
Yeah, GoCurrency.com has free currency converters, language translations, international clocks, everything you need to do international business.
So how does it work?
Conversion elves.
Conversion elves?
Yeah, watch. Want to know what this will cost in euros? Check this out.
Listen up, elves. We got one. $34 US. I need that in euros. Now, people. We got it. Put it up there, elves.
Wow. Currency elves. Who knew?
GoCurrency.com. Free currency converters, language translations, and more. GoCurrency.com.
Welcome to Madame Natalia's. You've come to have your future told, no?
Yeah, you see, I'm looking for the right life insurance affiliate program, and I have...
Say no more.
Huh?
I see you're working with AccuQuote.
AccuQuote?
Yes, AccuQuote. They are the nation's premier life insurance brokerage.
Go on.
AccuQuote will create custom creatives for you to optimize your eCPM, and they will offer you the highest payout for this offer anywhere.
So when's all this going to happen?
As soon as you visit AccuQuote.com.
For life insurance, visit AccuQuote.com.
Welcome to the Daily Searchcast.
Hey, little Yahoo, look who's after you. Do, 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 do. Hey, little Yahoo, who's your suitor now? Hey, little Yahoo, who's the one who wants you? Hey, little Yahoo, shotgun, boom. It's a nice day for a Microsoft wedding. Got it? Did you pick it up?
I love it.
Okay, it's good.
The Daily Searchcast.
Live broadcast Monday through Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. Or on demand anytime inside the Search Engine Optimization Channel. Only on WebmasterRadio.fm.
You have arrived
at the destination for education and entertainment.
WebmasterRadio.fm.
Because not everyone's last name is Gates.
WebmasterRadio.fm. We're everywhere.
Commercials off. Now back to Webcology, only on WebmasterRadio.fm. Here are the hosts, Jim Hedger and Dave Davies.
Welcome back to Webcology here on WebmasterRadio.fm. It's Thursday, April the 10th, and we're talking conversion optimization today. Now, as listeners know, we've been on a 10-part series on conversion optimization with tie-in articles happening at WebProNews.com down in their expert articles section. And we're almost at the end of the series. We're at section number 9, conversion optimization. And on the line, we have one of the people who helped pioneer the concept of conversion optimization, Gord Hotchkiss from Enquiro. Gord, welcome to Webcology on Webmaster Radio.
Thanks, Jim.
Now, it was your eye tracking studies, I think. Now, your eye tracking studies that you published starting 3 or 4 years ago that started webmasters thinking about conversion optimization. What got you onto eye tracking?
Well, I think, you know, eye tracking is one of those things where, because it's such that the images are so compelling, it kind of takes over what the purpose of it is. And I just want to quickly kind of put eye tracking back into perspective. It's one tool that we use to try to gain insight into a user, and we got into eye tracking because we thought it provides some interesting insights that you don't typically get from other tools or other methodologies. But I think it's important to remember what the end purpose is, and the end purpose is to understand more about your users, and eye tracking is just one way to do that. There's several other ways. So whether you use eye tracking or not, is probably secondary to making a decision that you really want to step inside your customer's head or your prospect's head and try to understand what's going on in there. But, you know, that said, for us, eye tracking is proven to be a great tool, and it does provide some really strong clues as to what the person might be thinking about, because you see not only what they do, but where they look as well.
Now, you bring up a good point there, and I'm glad that you brought it up, that eye tracking is and phenomenal reports that it provides, but it is one tool among many, and I'd imagine, you know, it's a costly endeavor for a lot of businesses if they want to get a really, really good snapshot of what multiple people are doing, because, of course, you need human beings to actually do these. What would you be going in for ahead of time? What are you looking at when you're in your initial stages, before you've even launched into dealing with eye tracking, when you're trying to help a client increase their conversions?
Yeah, probably the most important thing is the study design. If you're using eye tracking or if you're using any methodology, you really want to get a clear understanding of what the objectives are and what the possible biases or confounding factors might be in any study. So you really want to think through the design process and say, what is it that we really want to learn? There's two ways to do eye tracking. You can do a well-structured study where you identify your variables and you present it in a way that you get good, solid information, or you can just throw a lot of people at a computer screen and try to figure out what they're doing afterwards. We have done it both ways, and believe me, it's a lot more work on the back end if you do it the second way. So I think a little bit of time spent really investing in thinking through your study design and figuring out what your objectives are. The other thing I think that's important is not to try to do too much at once. One of the things you'll learn fairly quickly when you start looking at eye tracking results is it's an incredibly deep data set. There's a lot of information captured that can be sliced and diced a lot of ways. And unless you have a clear idea of what you're going in looking for, you can really get lost in the data. So you really want to think, okay, what do I want to get out of this data? How am I going to structure the study to try to get that clear? And, you know, how am I going to make sure that my time spent on the back end analyzing the data is well spent?